Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we are continuing a look that we started just a little while ago at medical marijuana. Marijuana, should it be a medical option? Courtesy of ProCon.org, we're getting quite a bit of input from people who say, yes, marijuana should be a medical option. And we're getting quite a bit of input from people who say, no, 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 marijuana should not be a medical option. Are you listening with an open mind? You know, one of the things that, you know, I recommend that we do is simply listen objectively. I know sometimes it takes more courage than we might realize, because if we gotten to the point where we decide that, well, this is my position, and we say, well, this is my position based on these values that I hold, or based on what my understanding of drugs are. And a lot of people I know base their decision on what members of their group say, whether that group is a political party or that group is a bunch of close friends. What does the group say? What do I hear other people who are members of my group say? Okay, that's what I'm going to say. That's the position I'm going to take. And when that's the case, it can really take a lot of courage to truly listen with an open mind, because there's such a strong inner push coming from within to toe the group line, because you want to remain loyal to the group no matter what. And what I really want to encourage us to do is care more about integrity than we do, so that we can get to the point where we say, well, you know what? I love the members of my group, but I also love truth. And if taking a position that lines up with truth means taking a position different than that of the other members of my group, then I'm just going to have to take a position that is different from the members of my group. That's not necessarily to say that the other members of the group are being dishonest. As I've said before, sometimes we make decisions that we think really are based on truth when they're not. Sometimes that's the issue. We think that this premise is a true premise, an accurate premise, a good premise, the foundation upon which everything else that I'm deciding is based. And sometimes that's just not the case. The premise is flawed, but we don't realize it. At other times, there are some people who know the premise is false, but they'll go ahead and argue that very convincingly, very passionately, in order to draw as many people to their way of thinking as possible. Listening objectively. I mean, to the point where you say, you know what? You haven't persuaded me to change my position, but I will say this. The point that you just made is valid. That is a solid point. It's not enough to persuade me to change my position, because I think that the points that have led me to my position are stronger than the points that you've made that lead you to your position. But that said, I still think that what you just said is a solid point. It takes courage and it takes integrity to take that kind of approach, to take that kind of stand, that even when you're in strong disagreement with someone else, when you hear them make a valid point, you're willing to say that is a good point. And from there, at least give more thought to everything else they've been saying. I'm not saying change your mind. I'm saying think more deeply about, consider more seriously other points that they've made that you may, that may have been just as valid and you just missed it. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that there are some people who are not going to exercise integrity, partly because out of pride, they're just not going to admit that someone else has made a better point than they've made. They're not going to admit that someone else is presenting a better argument than they're presenting. They're just not going to do that. They're too proud, which is not good, but it is reality. And if they concede that this point is a good one, and this point is so close related to other points that were made, then it wouldn't even make sense for them to say this point is valid and good, but these other points that are so closely related are not good points. Because then they'd have to be showing a weakness in their character, a flaw in their personality that they wouldn't want to reveal. And if they begin to say, well, if they start out saying, well, this point is a good one, and then they start backtracking, thinking about the other points that were made and seeing how closely they were related to the point that they concede is a good point, then they may have to say, you know what? Most of those points you made were good. All of those points that you made were good points. But if they concede that, then the next logical step is to conclude that your position is the right position because all those points you made that support your position are good points. If those are all good points, unless the points that that person has to support their position are clearly stronger than your argument, because that's what it comes down to, unless their argument, the points they make to support their position are better than yours, why would they stay with their position? And that's why so many people very clearly exercise a lack of integrity when they're debating. Because they've made up their mind, they're holding on to the position that they've been holding on to. They're not going to change that. And a lot of people find it much, much easier to just be dishonest than to admit you're right and change their position. We might as well just face that, ladies and gentlemen. There are a lot of people like that. And by the way, some of you have found yourselves in debates with people who, when they started out, it sounded like they were going to be so intelligent. But then you kept noticing a pattern. No matter how valid a point that you made was, they would not admit it. And even when something that they were saying was clearly foolish, they'd stick with it and stick with it and stick with it. And you're just flabbergasted. You're frustrated because you're trying to figure out, how can this person be saying stuff that sounds so crazy? How can this person be arguing against what is obviously the right point, the right position? There are people who are just plain dishonest, and they're not interested in speaking from a standpoint of logic. They're not interested in speaking from a perspective of integrity. All they want to do is win the argument and maintain their position so they can make sure that they are loyal to their cause. That doesn't matter how flawed their cause is. They want to be loyal to their cause. You may be able to plant a seed, and you may not be able to plant a seed. Don't make it your mission to change that person. We each decide what kind of person we're going to be. And we will be that type of person until we decide to change and become a different kind of person. We make the decision. Each of us as individuals make that decision. You can't make that decision for someone else. You can let them know change would be good, but you can't make them change. And sometimes when you realize that a person just is not being honest. And that their argument just totally defies logic. Those are two clear signs that you're not going to get anywhere with that person. And so in all honesty, you're wasting your time and you're wasting your energy by debating the matter. Let it go. Let them continue to be who they've decided to be. You continue to be who you've decided to be. Go on about your merry way. All right. That said, I want to encourage us all to listen to these pros and cons of medical marijuana use. Let's listen with openness. Let's not feel threatened by the prospect that we may hear a point that is truly a good point. That doesn't necessarily mean we're going to change our position. Remember, we're trying to gather enough information to be well informed about the situation so that we can then make a decision as to what our position will be after having become well informed about the matter.
All right.
Now, you're not going to change your position. Nobody's saying you have to change. I'm just asking us to begin to develop the habit of listening with an open mind and listening with a readiness to acknowledge when we're hearing a good point, whether it comes from our side of the debate or the other side of the debate, regardless of the topic and regardless of which side of the debate you're on. Our side is making a good argument. Great. Hey, their side is making a good argument there. Doesn't mean every point is going to be one that we would agree with. But if this one sounds good, let's be brave enough, big enough to admit that. Don't feel like we have to be devalued or deflated just because someone else makes a good point. All right, so here we go. Yesterday I started with the pros. I'm sorry, the first hour, actually the last few minutes of the last hour, I started with the pro. So this time, let's start with a con. And again, the cons being the group that's saying, no, marijuana should not be a medical option. Kevin Sabet, PhD, director of the Drug Policy Institute at the University of Florida, made this statement in an article titled California Medical Association's Decision Not Based on Public Health. It was published October 21st, 2011 on the Huffington Post. The CMA, which stands for California Medical Association, has decided that the solution is completely to legalize marijuana for all purposes, both medical and recreational, and then study it. But this is backwards. With no other modern medication have we taken this approach. Can you imagine if we made some new psychoactive substance, say spice, K2, or bath salts, fully legal before researching it? Some points, I think it's fair to say we should be willing to just acknowledge when they're kind of ludicrous, too. But either way, whether it's from our side or the other side, whoever the other side is and our side is. Furthermore, the raw marijuana plant material itself containing hundreds of unknown components has not met FDA standards of safety and efficacy. We don't smoke opium to reap the benefits of morphine, nor do we chew willow bark to receive the effects of aspirin. Similarly, he goes on to say, Dr. Sabet goes on to say, we should not have to smoke marijuana to get potential therapeutic effects from its components. Medical marijuana as it stands today in California and many other states has turned into a sad joke. A recent study found that the average patient, quote unquote, was a 32-year-old white male with a history of drug and alcohol abuse and no history of a life-threatening disease. Real medications must be fully studied, then approved by the FDA, then made available to patients by prescription. Dr. Sabat was saying no. Marijuana should not be a medical option. Now, U.S. Representative Dennis Kucinich and 2008 Democratic candidate for U.S. President stated the following in an August 9th, 2007 Democratic presidential forum. He said it's a matter between doctors and patients, and if doctors want to prescribe medical marijuana to relieve pain, compassion requires that the government support that. And so as the President of the United States, I would make sure that our Justice Department was mindful that we should be taking a compassionate approach. I want to go one step further, because this whole issue of drugs in our society is misplaced. Drugs have infected the society, but I think we need to look at it more as a medical and a health issue than as a criminal justice issue. What are your thoughts about that? Looking at the drug problem as a medical issue and a health issue rather than as a criminal justice issue. Let me ask you this. Do you think that there's room for both? To look at the drug issue as a medical and health issue and as a criminal justice issue. Now, that said, I know that one of the first things that comes to a lot of people's minds is how corrupt the criminal justice system is. And unfortunately, and this is just a reality, we have people of color, especially in the black community, being targeted for arrests when it comes to drug dealing, drug possession, etc. And so I know that we still have a problem with regards to fairness and the way the system works. But all things equal, let's just play pretend for a little while and say, assume that fairness will be the order of the day. Fairness is the way things will be done. Things will be done in a fair manner, all across the board, all across the nation, all the time. And no one, no particular ethnicity, no particular social class, no specific gender, no one, no group will be targeted for arrests. Should the drug issue be a medical and health issue and a criminal justice issue? Or should it be only a criminal justice issue or only a medical and health issue? Now, I'm going to tell you what I said before. And by the way, I'm deliberately not weighing in on whether I think marijuana should be a medical option. That definitely is where this stems from. But I'm digressing slightly for a few minutes here. This whole issue of criminal justice issue. One of the things that I pointed out some time ago is that it is so unfortunate that we had some politicians several decades ago who decided that they were going to make it law that if you were caught with crack cocaine, you'd get this type of sentence. If you were caught with powder cocaine, you'd get a much, much lesser sentence. Almost a slap on the wrist if you were caught with powder cocaine, and the key to the jail cell would be thrown away if you were found with crack cocaine. And the politicians who made that decision said that they know, they admitted that they knew, because no one let them get away with this, they admitted that they knew that they were making that decision based on their premise that members of the black community were usually caught with crack cocaine, whereas members of the white community were usually caught with powder cocaine. And so the excuse that they gave for giving a much harsher sentence, for making a much harder sentence law if you were found with crack cocaine, is that the drug problem was so bad in the black community that they had to do something about it to turn that around. Truth is, the drug problem is a bad problem in every community. And if they had sincerely been wanting to take steps to turn that around, because they know, come on, do you really think that they don't know that people get drugs in prison? You really think that they don't know that people do drugs in prison? Sure, they knew that. Turning the situation around was not what they really wanted. This was just another way for them to put more people of color in prison. I said then, as many people said then, that just locking people up is not the way to go. We need to deal with a lot of the issues that lead to drug dealing and drug use. And I know that to some people may, when you put color, when you make color the primary issue, it's difficult for you to agree that taking care of the people using these drugs, dealing with the issues that lead to drug dealing, should be job one. But think about this. When we started hearing about so many white people in so many white communities all across America dealing with this heroin addiction and other drugs that were just devastating the white community, after decades of talking about throw away the key, lock them up and throw away the key, all of a sudden we started hearing some of those same voices who had been saying throw away the key now begin to say, oh, we need to do something about this. This is an epidemic. We need to get help for them. We need to start looking at treatment. I'm going to say now, as I said before, I agree wholeheartedly. These people being devastated by drug dealing and drug use, they need help. And they're using drugs for all the same reasons that people of color were using drugs, as a way to make money and get paid. It was a way to medicate and deal with pain. It was a way to have fun recreationally. All the reasons that black people and Hispanic people use drugs are the same reasons that white people use drugs. Families just being devastated by drug abuse, whether by one or more members of the family. I still say I agree 100%. Let's let treatment and prevention and treatment be at the top of the list for all these white people and all these white communities who are being devastated by drug use. But let's also do the same thing for all people of color and make prevention and treatment just as important and just as supported for people of color as it would be for white people. So again, back to that question that I was asking a little bit earlier, based on one of the pro statements that U.S. Representative Dennis Kucinich made about medical marijuana in particular and drugs in general. Looking at drugs more as a medical and health issue than as a criminal justice issue. I think that there's a place for both medical health issue and criminal justice issue. We just need to make sure that we're fair in how we handle it.